When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Hello, listeners. There is something I want to talk about. A little while ago, I want to say maybe a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, a little while ago, there was an article, I cannot remember, it was like maybe the New York Times, and it came out and it revealed a study that said people who took supplements were more likely to die early than people who weren't. And it created kind of a stir. And I wasn't really able, it's kind of tough because it's like, we addressed it very briefly on the doctors and I wasn't really able to kind of add my two cents in at that time. And I really want to be able to comment on this. First of all, I did talk to the doctors about this and I want to differentiate. This is not, all right. This is more aimed towards the person who takes 20 different supplements for 20 different ailments, okay? When you read a study, you've got to read the entire study, and then you've got to look at who funded the study. Because I promise you that behind every study, there's generally an agenda, okay? These studies are funded for a reason. Now, not to get too deep into conspiracy theories, but it's no secret that there are certain powers that be in the world that are trying to take away our ability to buy over-the-counter vitamins, minerals, and natural supplements. Drug companies, maybe? I don't know. You think about it. But there is definitely whisperings of this agenda that's been going around for a while. Now, I think when you start saying that natural supplements are killing people, it's really a really big thing to say. So before we make comments like that, you need to read the entire study and then you need to look at who funded the study. So first of all, let's look at why this could even possibly be the case. Number one, it could be that the majority of people who do take a multivitamin are taking a cheap multivitamin. You know, the ones that are like $10 for a 3 month supply. And I'm not going to name names, but you know, there are these kind of vitamins out there. Okay. On Biggest Loser, I would ask for a multi and you know, they would get me the cheapest one. And then I had to start specifying the brand because even when I would ask for fiber supplements, right, for them, I would just want to get them some fiber supplements so that they could, I could add some bulk and they could feel more full. I would get the fiber that was orange flavored and it had artificial color and artificial sweetener. And I was like, no, dude, just psyllium husks, just the psyllium husks. And they would get me, I'm just going to say, I think it was Metamucil, but it was flavored Metamucil, which had artificial sweetener and artificial color. I was like, no, just plain. Okay, now, you look at a cheap vitamin, and one of my friends brought home a prenatal the other day, and this also goes for the vitamins on Biggest Loser, a prenatal vitamin, right? And I looked at it, and it had hydrogenated oil, which is trans fat, artificial coloring, and there was something else in it. Oh, propylene glycol. Which is antifreeze. They use propylene glycol to de-ice planes. Okay. Well, hello. Okay. Then there was like a vitamin, and it had artificial coloring and artificial sweeteners. You gotta read the label. And if you buy a cheap vitamin, you know, chances are you're getting a lot of preservatives, a lot of artificial coloring, a lot of artificial sweetener, and in particular with that prenatal, it had artificial, it had trans fat in it. And it had propylene glycol because there was some sort of liquid in the prenatal. And then I, you know, I called her doctor and I was like, what are you hoping to accomplish here? What is it that we want? She's like, folic acid. I was like, okay. I was like, well, do you realize that the prenatals that you've recommended have like, you know, something that causes liver damage, something that causes possible learning disabilities in kids, and trans fat, which causes heart disease. Like, do you know this? And it's like the nurse was saying, well, we get it from our pharmaceutical rep. I'm like, that's great. Number one fertility clinic in Los Angeles, my friend is going to. I'm like, super. Super. I was like, well, do you mind if...
Our reps. And they just gave us a round of golf.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, well, do you, you know, can she get something like organic at Whole Foods? You're looking for X amount of folic acid? Yeah. I was like, okay. So you got to look at, we can't just say supplements. You cannot unilaterally say supplements. That's like comparing an organic apple to a packaged apple pie. That's how vast the quality of these things, how vast the quality of these things can run the gamut. So sure, if you're taking a vitamin that has a bunch of crap, poison, preservatives, junk in it, well, I bet it's gonna dramatically decrease the quality of your life. Now, another thing that you have to wonder about is, are people taking vitamins and thinking, well, I eat, you know, processed food and I eat fast food all the time, but I take my vitamins.
That's right.
Okay, now, you know you're out there because I've met you. And by the way, you're probably taking the crappy vitamin, but you know, there, and this is the thing, there is no substitute for real food. And I've said this before on previous shows, the delivery system, the way that we get our nutrients from our foods is kind of confusing because we don't ever understand. It's like, is it the combination of these nutrients in the food that make this particular nutrient fight cancer? Is it the way that the food is delivered through the fiber that makes it more of the fruit or vegetable that makes it more bioavailable? There's actually a lot that we don't know about nutrition. So to just take a vitamin is not a panacea. It's not a cure-all. It's not a solution. The way that I like to utilize vitamins is I say eat as clean as possible, as healthy as possible, as diversely as possible, and then take one healthy multi and incorporate that into your diet. I also take probiotics, and I notice a gigantic difference in my health. Sorry, when I take probiotics, a huge difference in my health. When I was playing with being vegan, I was taking a vitamin B supplement. I don't do that anymore. I get it from my food because I'm not vegan. And then, you know, I've had my bouts of you know, when I'm sick, I'll definitely go and get, you know, the oregano oil, and I'll get the elderberry extracts and all that stuff to fight any sort of foreign microbes, viruses, or bacterial infections in my body. And it helps me knock it out much quicker. But I supplement with real quality multi and a quality probiotic. And I make sure there's no preservatives or junk in my vitamin. I spend the money. If you're not willing to spend the money, I would not invest in the product, for the reasons that we just mentioned. And don't think that it's going to take the place of real food, because it isn't. But I still do think it's important just simply because I never look at, I mean, I'm good at this and I don't go through the course of my day and think, okay, I only got X amount of milligrams of zinc and I was short on selenium here as well. And low on magnesium. Like, come on. So unless you're thinking, well, today I had eggs and tomorrow I'll have oatmeal with walnuts. And then, you know, the next day I'm going to have a whole grain Ezekiel English muffin with almond butter. Like you're constantly diversifying your foods and you're eating whole foods only and you're going as organic as possible. So the soil is not depleted, which is where your fruits and your vegetables and your grains get their nutrients. I mean, we could go on and on and on. So when you read studies like that, I want you to think about, number one, who's funding the study and what is their agenda? And then read the whole study, because it's not as simple as coming out with, you know, the one sentence statement when the study's probably 20 pages. Number two, what is the quality of the nutrient that we're talking about? And in what form? Are they talking about people that take 20 supplements? Are they talking about people that take one multi? What kind of supplement are they taking? What's the quality of the supplement that they're taking? Then number three, look at the lifestyle of the individual we're talking about. Because again, is it the person that thinks the multivitamin is going to make up for living unhealthily? Or is it somebody who exercises and works out and takes it as a supplement to their healthy lifestyle. There. I feel I've addressed this.
You have. You have. And you know what? You remember we were talking to Myrtle last week, and, you know, she had a topic that she talked about when it's time to fire your doctor. And I think maybe I'm going to call her, you know, and maybe in the next little while, you know.
And fire her?
No. Not fire Myrtle.
You're fired.
No, fire. Because that's it. When your doctor, not that I'm not saying that the doctor that you talk to, I'm just saying that there is sometimes you just kind of got to go, I don't know if I understand what the hell you're having me do here.
Well, here's the problem. At the same time, I don't want anybody running around self-treating or self-medicating.
No, I understand.
And when I work with great doctors, but I think the whole solution is the point of like being proactive in your own health, you know, asking your doctor questions, and when it doesn't ring true to you or it doesn't make sense, then you need to switch to another doctor. When I it's very funny because obviously I work with doctors all day long, and I was previously working with doctors before I was on the doctors, whether it was Dr. Van Hurley or whether it was, you know, picking Sanjay Gupta's brain or whether it was working with Dr. Christine Darwin on Master Your Metabolism. I mean, or physiatrists in my sports medicine practice, like whatever it was, I worked with doctors or registered dietitians for years. And the thing is, you need to be real careful. I don't want you to take your health into your own hands. I want you to do your own research and be your own health advocate. And then I want you to go to a doctor and ask questions. So, you know, here's what I don't ever want to see you do. Don't ever watch a show with a Hollywood celebrity that tells you not to vaccinate your child and think that it's the word of God. Because it's not. And you hear that stuff. Now, that's scary. I heard it and I was like, oh my God, should I not vaccinate my kids? You know, you wonder, you question, okay. And then you'll go online and you'll read all this stuff, and which is, by the way, your first mistake. Don't do that. Go to your doctor. And ask them, I'm concerned about this. Is there mercury in the vaccine? What are the possible side effects? You know, when I talked to Dr. Jim Sears about it on The Doctors, he was saying, listen, you know, here's the thing. We can never be 100% sure about anything. It's possible there could be side effects. Here are the statistics. They're very, very slim. And, you know, what Jim ended up advising me to do when I am a parent is he said, you know, look at all the different shots that are out there from whooping cough to chicken pox. Mm-hmm. Now, chicken pox, not going to kill your kid if they get it. Whooping cough could kill them. So that's when you go, okay, you know, I should probably get the whooping cough vaccination. Chicken pox, we can probably do without. And you do your own homework, but you talk to your doctor. You don't make these decisions in a vacuum. And I really want the doctors to do a segment on people that Google their health conditions. I mean, if you Google abdominal pain, 140 different things are going to come up, from appendicitis to leaky gut syndrome to, you know, I mean, it's insane when you see.
Oh,
you
I
gotta,
know.
But I will say, you do have to talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor about the medications you're taking, why you're taking them, what are the side effects. I mean, you got to be proactive. And if you think your doctor is just out of touch or they are not as natural in their approach as you might like, you know, switch.
Yeah.
Switch. Yeah. Like everything, there are good doctors and there are bad doctors. There are good trainers. There are bad trainers. Good lawyers, bad lawyers. Like everything. So get proactive, do your homework, and don't function in a vacuum. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Now what?
Now we take a little break. You have some rich girl tea, and then and I'm gonna. And we'll be...
It's been forever since I made fart sounds on here.
I know. Don't even start. And we've noticed. We're very proud that. Oh my God! Jake, turn her off now. Now, 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 now.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep. Everywhere you'd think me rude, but I would just stand and stare.
Okay, we are back, and Jake wanted to make a notice that that now your days without making fart sounds has now gone to zero. So now you're back to zero because you just did
well,
that.
Well, then I'm going to have a blast with it today.
Jennifer? Jennifer, I'm so sorry. See, this is what happens when she makes these sounds and then she can't stop.
I'm preparing to have kids. I'm getting used to it. Oh, Jennifer, make your best fart sound.
Pardon?
We want you to make your best fart sound.
Don't you make... Want me to make my best
yeah,
fart
do it.
Sound.
Let me see how good. Like, go for it.
Okay, ready?
Go. That was great! Oh my God! That was awesome! We need to give her something. Do you have killer buns and thighs yet?
No, actually, I don't.
Excellent. We're going to send her something for that.
Oh my
Get her information.
God.
That was fabulous. All right,
Jennifer,
sorry.
I'll call you, but killer.
Killer buns,
buns
and thighs.
And
yeah, get
thighs.
Her killer. She deserves a prize. All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to dance. I'm so that made my day. Jennifer made fart sounds with me. You got to lighten up, Janice.
You got to have some fun.
Yeah, God. You want to try one, Janice?
No, I am a professional producer of radio.
No, try one. It's great. That's good. Excellent. DVDs for everybody. All right. I'm sorry, Jennifer. We're ready to take your question. What's going on, buddy?
Well, listen, I'm 5'2", and I carry my weight around my belly. From behind, I look, you know, quite slim, but in the front, you obviously know that I'm not. And my question for you, Jillian, is that once upon a time, I had a trainer tell me that doesn't matter what I'm going to do, my belly will never be flat. It'll be, you know, flabby and bulgy for the rest of my life.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, what an a-hole.
Yeah, I agree. I obviously have moved on from that. I'm not traumatized. Don't worry.
Thank God, because I'll go beat him up if you like.
Oh, I didn't even like the guy. Don't worry about it. But
jeez.
My question, I know. My question, I guess, what I wanted to know was, can you suggest ways to possibly target belly fat, whether it's with food or with certain exercise that will target like the core area? And is there like a science behind eating for your body type or working for your body type when you're in the position that I'm in?
Okay. So, well, first of all, let me understand. Are you even overweight? What are we talking about here?
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm 192 pounds, 5'2". So.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, sweetie, So we want to reduce overall body fat here. I don't even want you thinking about spot reducing. You shouldn't be thinking about spot reducing until we have 10 pounds to lose.
Okay.
So there's that. I want to answer that question, though, because it's a good question, but it's something that I don't want you thinking about right now. Now, we have body... Okay, there's everything out there from like the blood type diet to the oxidizer diet to the, body shape diet. Let's start out with the basics. I was a firm believer in oxidizer type, which really, when you oxidize your food, you're metabolizing it. You're literally oxidizing it. You're digesting it. People do this at certain rates, and the reality of getting this right with regard to the types of foods you're eating. So like if you're a slow oxidizer, eating something that's fatty or high in protein is going to make you feel sluggish. So if somebody like that went on Atkins, they'd feel exhausted. just because it's like they already metabolize their food slowly. So when they eat things that break down more slowly, it's like, you know, you have a sort of smoldering fire and you throw a tree stump on it. It's like, you know, that thing's not going to burn. Now, if you're a fast oxidizer and you've got like this bonfire going on and you throw a tissue on it, something that might be, you know, a piece of bread with no fat or no protein, that already breaks down more quickly, and that's just going to incinerate like tissue on a bonfire. So I used to try to help people identify where they fell into this category just so that the foods they ate helped them feel full for longer, gave them longer lasting energy. And this way they weren't, you know, oh, I'm hungry every 2 hours. And they had more energy to work out harder. But it got to the point where it was so much to remember, I kind of just put that by the wayside because I really wanted them to worry more about eating clean and counting calories. Those were my priorities. Beyond that, I've looked into blood type diet. I don't buy into it at all. I've studied it. I've read about it. I've talked to doctors about it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've never utilized the technique, and I've taken weight off of hundreds and hundreds of people, literally hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of people. So thousands. So I'm going to say we can put that aside. When you look at where the body stores weight, are you a pear? Are you an apple? Are you evenly proportioned? This has to do with your hormone balance. So you'll notice in men, unless they have a hormone problem, they tend to store weight in their stomach. You know, you'll have guys with those muscular legs and then the big belly. You've seen that before, yes? Okay, it's because men are more testosterone dominant. Now, a female that is more estrogen dominant is going to have weight in her predominantly in her lower body. A female that is more evenly balanced has a more balanced hormones between testosterone and estrogen. And a female that has the big tummy is going to be more testosterone dominant, probably more prone to things like PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. You know, that could be the case, maybe because I'm estrogen dominant and I had PCOS as a kid. So you're looking for signs of how the body stores fat is going to tell you a lot about your natural hormone balance. When it comes to belly fat, there's good news and there's bad news, like everything in life. There are two different types of fat. In other words, like they literally will tell you that there's brown fat, which is kept on the lower body. I know this sounds gross, but and there's pink fat, which is belly fat. The fat on your lower body is a lot more difficult to break down and burn. And the fat on your belly is a lot easier to burn and get off. But it's more dangerous. They'll call it heart attack fat. So like I said, there's pros and cons to everything. Belly fat can also be linked to a hormone called cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So when we start to think about how do we spot reduce fat, you really can't. You have to reduce overall body fat. But if we can create a little natural shift in our hormone balance, you may be able to decrease that distribution. So like if you can drive your stress levels down, if you can avoid foods that are highly processed, that are high in sodium, which studies will show linked to cortisol production as well. If you can get your sleep, which helps to keep your cortisol levels low, there's a chance that you can inhibit body fat storage. But the truth of the matter is, if you're eating too much, you're going to store that extra energy as fat. All fat is stored energy. And it's going to go where your body tells it to go. And that has to do with hormone balance. So spot reducing is a real difficult game. And if we were talking about vanity pounds, we'd be having a different conversation. That's when I would get into, you know, my making the cut conversation, which was my second book, and losing 10 pounds and the science behind that. But when we're talking about, you know, 195.2, we just want you to lose weight. So this becomes real straightforward. It's calories in, calories out. All I want you to think about right now, first and foremost, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't turn to any special diet. You don't need to cut anything out. I want you to just count calories. Okay. So are you doing that?
More or less, yes, I am.
All right. How many are you eating a day?
About 1,600, to depending on if I worked out. You know, I give myself a little bit more because my body needs it.
No, your body, no, it does not. No.
Okay.
No. Who told you that?
Well, actually, I should have mentioned that I'm diabetic. So when I do work out, my that's a whole other
one thing. Type 1 or 2?
Two.
Okay, so, no. Your body does not need extra calories because you're diabetic. You just need to be getting regular increments of food. Like every 3 to 4 hours, you need to eat, and you need to eat a balanced meal of protein and healthy carbs. That's it. You're under a huge misconception. You think you're type one. You're not. You're confusing it. No. I've had many contestants who are type 2 diabetic, and we had them under doctor supervision at 800 calories a day.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, no. No. Okay. So, I'm going to tell you, you should be at 1,200 calories a day. You don't need to be at 1,600 calories a day at 5'2", 190-something pounds. No.
Okay.
But what you can do... You can eat unlimited greens. So steamed green beans, steamed broccoli, kale chips, but be real careful about what you put on them. You know, when you start to put things like oil on there, you know, then you're adding calories. But vinegar, lemon, dry herbs, seasonings, things of that nature.
Okay.
That's all fine. Okay, so you're eating 1,600, 1,700 on days you work out, you're eating more.
No, those would be a high day. I would say I'm 15 to 16, and my sugars drop a lot after I work out, so I end up having some extra juice.
No, what? You're not type 1 diabetic.
No, I'm
no.
Just telling you what my doctor said.
Your doctor told you to have juice.
Yeah, if I'm feeling low after, just to have some juice to get me back up to where I need to be.
No. Oh my God. No.
Okay.
What? No. No, no. Have a piece of fruit with a little bit of protein and fat. So
okay.
You can have like a half of an apple or a half of an orange with maybe 10 almonds.
Okay.
That are raw or dry roasted. Okay.
Right.
No juice. Oh, my God. No. Didn't you hear Dr. Van Hurley, who's an endocrinologist last week, saying the number one thing never to have is fruit juice?
No, I missed that one, but I'm going to listen back.
You better download that podcast right now, young
lady.
I will.
Okay.
No. Oh, dear God. Okay. So, all right. So you're eating between 1,500 and 1,700 calories.
Yes.
And then, how many are you burning a day?
You know what, Jillian? I don't have a proper calculation. I walk about 5K a day with my dog. And then when I am able to commit to myself, I am doing cardio. Usually about 3 times a week I'm at the gym.
Okay, honey, so are you actively losing weight?
Yeah, I've lost 35 pounds in the last year and a half.
Okay.
And this summer I've had a lot of life changes, and
okay.
I've maintained my weight, and I've been very happy about that.
Okay.
Now I'm looking at moving forward and trying to get myself more healthy. And, you know, one of the doctors did say to me that, you know, as my weight drops, chances are I'm going to not need my diabetic medicine anymore.
You're not going to. Yeah. She's right.
No, I'm not
going to
need it. Yeah.
You are on metformin?
So, yes, I am, actually.
Yeah. Okay. You know how many people we've gotten off of that?
I'm sure.
I mean, every freaking contestant I ever worked with practically and got them off of it in a matter of months.
Right.
Months.
That's fantastic.
So, no, you don't need that. And here's the thing. First of all, I want to give you mad kudos that you've lost 35 pounds and you've kept it off. Now, that's okay. So that's 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? That's like 2 pounds a month, right, Janice? I'm terrible at math. But 18 months times two is, it's about 2 pounds a month.
That.
Okay,
yeah.
So sweetie, I would like to see you losing at least 1 pound a week. And that's because you're eating like 15, 16, 1700 calories. So you got to realize that if you're losing 2 pounds a month, you've got a 7,000 calorie deficit a month because a pound is 3,500 calories, right?
Right.
So 7,000 over the course of roughly 30 days. What is that? What's that going to? It's like 300 calorie deficit a day. Double that number if we could get you down to around 1,200 calories with unlimited greens to help you feel full and get your nutrients. Mushrooms are fine. Mushrooms or green beans, like anything green, anything fibrous. Tomatoes are okay. Eggplant, you know, vegetables. Other than starchy vegetables. Stay away from starchy vegetables like potatoes and sweet potatoes. Those have to count towards your 1,200. But fibrous, celery, you know, these things, unlimited. As long as you're green peppers, as long as you're mindful of how you're cooking them or what you're putting on them. All right. Yeah. Cauliflower. I mean, all those things, because it almost requires more energy for your body to digest them than the amount of calories that are actually in them. And they're so high in nutrients, they're great for you. So, but you're doing really well. But this is what I want you to work on right now. I want you to work on eating more clean. Think about the quality of your foods, and then think about learning how many calories a day you're burning. Because I would bet you, you're probably burning 2,000 calories a day on the days you're working out.
Right. Okay.
And then you're eating like 1,500 to 1,700, which is giving you, I mean, if you look, you know, it's giving you about a 500 deficit a day, blah, 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 blah. It's equaling 2 pounds a month, which is, again, I'm just saying we could move this quicker.
Okay.
That's all. Not that there's anything wrong with what you've been doing. You're doing great. And the fact that you've kept it off is great.
Thank you.
So anyway, have I at all answered this question?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've gone in a big circle, but I get it. Keep working, cut the calories, you know, eat clean, and don't worry about, you know, the spot losing weight.
Yeah,
time,
no.
Really.
No. Absolutely, yes. Don't worry about that. You just focus on getting yourself down to a healthy weight. And then when we get into that vanity pounds area, you know, it's a completely different methodology, a point of view. Call me back when you've got about 10 to 15 pounds to lose. And that's it. No special diets, just clean food and calorie counting.
Okay, you got it, Jillian. Thank you.
All right, and good fart sound. Well done.
Oh,
yeah, we'll
you
get
your
DVD.
Yeah, we're going to get you that DVD. Good for you.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks,
bye.
Jennifer.
Yeah, yours was okay.
You know what makes me laugh the most is when you turn to me to do the mathematical questions.
because I
look at you not knowing a clue how to multiply that fast, because my brain doesn't think that.
Well, we need to get you a little calculator.
No, we need to get you me a little calculator.
Gelman would have a calculator.
Don't I just had a piece of
He would. Gelman would. No. He wouldn't leave Regis and Kelly hanging.
No, but it just makes me laugh. But I think you look at
just
me.
Saying.
I think what I look like, though, is that I'm figuring it out. And then you're waiting for me to figure it, and then you carry on.
I just give up.
You give up.
I do. I'm like, I can't wait for this.
Okay. Wait, we're not ending the show yet. Don't think we're not over yet.
Okay.
Yeah. We got Amy to talk to.
I'm ready.
Okay. Amy, Jillian.
Cool.
Hi, Jillian.
Hi, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, my God. It's so great to finally talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. In fact, I just saw a taping of the doctor's on October 14th, and you were on and out in a flash, and I didn't even get to say hi. But...
Oh, you know what? It bums my flow because people come, and it's like, I don't know that they're... You know how we stop after the show, and we always talk to the audience? That is when you guys need to flag me down.
Because you weren't even up there.
I wasn't... Was I not?
Yeah, that was like the puppy episode.
Oh, you're right. I wasn't. That was the one show. Yeah.
Hey, I got you now, though, huh?
Oh, buddy, I'm sorry. That sucks. I apologize. I do know that this was not my greatest moment on the doctors.
Oh, really?
I was inquiring about veterinary health for Seven. It was a particularly medical show, so it's like, I wasn't really in this one, and but I was asking a vet about communicable dog diseases, and Seven was having like absolute stage fright,
and had
buried her head in my armpit.
Oh,
it was mortifying. I was mortified for the dog. Now I know how parents what pressure they must put on their kids. It's like, perform! Like the dog was just dying. Anyway, it was not my greatest episode of the dog. I did appreciate that I was possibly being underutilized in that episode.
Yes.
But anyway,
Jillian.
I'm sorry, buddy. It's great to talk to you now, though.
Yes, I got you now. Okay, so my question is this: are there any foods out there that I can be eating to improve libido
go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And then are there any foods on the other spectrum? Are there any foods that we should be staying away from that are libido killers?
Good for you. That's exactly where I was about to go first. So, yes. Okay. You know, when it comes to libido, you got to think about endorphins. You got to think about circulation. You've got to think about hormone production. So we want testosterone, of course, and we want a healthy hormone production, which we're going to need healthy fats. You're going to need B vitamins. So right off the bat, when you think about what's going to kill sex drive anything that's going to kill endorphin production, which is going to be processed foods. In fact, they're starting to show there have been studies that suggest that pesticides can actually cause depression because they kill our ability to create serotonin and endorphins. A low-grade depression. This is not to say, like, God forbid someone passes away in your family or you've lost a job or you've gone through a breakup. Like, of course you're going to experience a depression. But if you're running, like, a constant sort of low-grade depression, there are some studies that suggest that pesticides in our foods can cause this. Processed foods can... foods that are very high in sodium can affect our circulation and also our vigor, our energy, so to speak. So we want to avoid just garbage, fatty, processed foods, foods that are high in trans fats, foods that are high in sodium. We want to be getting whole foods so that we can, in fact, make those, get those vitamin B, get the zinc, and get all those things in, which I'll explain to you in a second. So. Okay. I do have one question, though. Are you on any kind of, and again, not a psychologist, but just asking, are you on any kind of antidepressant?
No, uh-uh. Okay. No, in fact, we're both really healthy. We're on, I don't know if you're familiar with the Zone diet, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're both on the Zone. You know, we eat really healthy. I recently lost 25 pounds.
Excellent.
So I went from 190 down to 165-ish.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm a firefighter, so, you know, they feed us really good food at the station, you know. And
wonderful.
It's all about what I can cook also at the station, and as well as what I cook at home. And I cook very healthy at home and you know, health
awesome.
Conscious.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, naturally, what can we do?
Yep, all right.
To improve that?
So as long as you're not, the reason I ask about medication is because sometimes when you're on possibly antidepressants or there are certain... I'm just saying this now for the audience or the other listeners, buddy, not for you per se, but just so they know what I'm talking about. If you're on an antidepressant or you're on a something like Lipitor or things of that nature, it can affect sex drive. It can affect function and things like that. So talk to your doctor about it. Now, once we've gotten over beyond like avoid the trans fats, avoid high sodium foods, avoid processed foods. Now we get into things. That can essentially help us boost our sex drive. So we want to boost testosterone. And zinc is one of those things that can help you do that. So now you're looking at foods like pumpkin seeds. And one of the reasons they say that oysters is an aphrodisiac is because oysters are high in zinc. That's actually where that guy knows.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're high in zinc. So oysters, actually. Oysters, turkey is another good one. Things that are high in zinc help to boost your testosterone production. Garlic is one of them, but I just can't mention garlic because you will friggin' stink. It's such
I
a
know.
Great food. It's a super food, but it's just like, oh my God, I just can't. It's like, it comes through your skin. It's just, yeah. Garlic, great for your heart health too, but boy, oh boy. Oh my God, stink of the century. So I'm going to leave that off of sexy foods. You might want it, but your partner's not going to want you. So we're going to leave that one out. All right. Now, foods that can release endorphins, chilies, believe it or not. So, like, if you sprinkle, I have this crushed red pepper. I don't do it for this reason, but I sprinkle crushed red pepper on my eggs. I mean, I make a couple of dishes from the Master Your Metabolism cookbook. There's a chili dish and there's a winter vegetable couscous, and I always put crushed red pepper on it. But even if you throw a jalapeno into your eggs or whatever it might be, chili pepper has something in it called capsaicin. Okay. This is great for circulation because blood flow is going to be key, but also it releases endorphins, which is great for mood boosting, getting you in the mood, so to speak. Dark chocolate in moderation, also good for this. Also releases, yeah, me too, girl. So can I, but don't, it's not a bar. It's like spare square. It's like the Seinfeld of toilet paper. I'm talking about dark chocolate, like a square, spare square.
And Trader Joe's has these really nice little 100-calorie dark chocolate.
There you go. Two of those a day. That's perfect. Dark chocolate's great. Now, other things that are going to increase circulation, basil, believe it or not. So, again, you could sprinkle this on, you know, you could sprinkle it on your eggs. You could make a little whole grain pasta dish and get basil in there. I like fresh basil. You can grow that on your windowsill. Do you know how easy that is? In fact,
it does. I have a garden.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's so easy. You go to even, you could even cheat and not start it from seed and go to a farmer's market and buy a little basil plant. You could cheat and it's like, stick it in your windowsill. You're good to go. So basil's great. Another one, watermelon is great. It has something in it called, I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but it's called like citrulline. We did this segment on the doctor, so I'm grasping at the name of it, but yeah. I think it's pronounced citrulline, and it helps with circulation. And nutmeg, Ayurvedic medicine will say that nutmeg is also great for circulation and boosting sex drive.
Okay.
And then B vitamins, which are key for hormone production. So ocean-caught salmon is great. Eggs are great. Grass-fed beef is going to be great. So these are the things you want. You want zinc. You want B. You want things that are going to release endorphins and increase blood flow.
Okay.
And that will help. And then, of course, remove all the junk. And then, you know what else? This is getting maybe a little too personal. But
I'm going to sit down now.
No, I'm just...
for this next part.
No. I'm going to try to keep it clean.
Okay.
But I have found... Oh, dear God. I hate talking about this sex stuff. I get super uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Amy,
we could. For me too.
I get super uncomfortable about it. I'm really working on it because I have to talk about it on the doctors all the time. So I'm getting slightly more comfortable.
Just the fact you're going to say something more than the nutritional value.
It's just slightly more.
It's a big shift. For
no,
you.
It's slightly more. I know, but it's like I didn't grow up like that. It was like. We don't talk about those things, you know. It's just like, ugh, I feel my heart seize. It's so uncomfortable. But with that said, I'm going to just say, try practicing more yoga.
And I've never tried yoga.
Try it. And here's what I love about it. First of all, obviously, it's going to increase flexibility. Okay. So what? That's good, Janice.
No.
You want it to be flexible. I want to be flexible.
I almost had an orgasm in a downward dog once.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
No, I'm serious.
I'm dying. It's too much information.
I don't mean it like that.
No.
Like
oh, my God.
Oh, stop.
Oh, my God. I'm gouging out my eardrums.
Stop.
Just stop.
No.
Holy mother of God.
Not like the
Oh,
my
God. Oh, Jesus. Amy, I'm sorry. Are you okay?
I'm just not like the Meg Ryan. Just like one of those little mini.
Oh, God.
She just said we were in there a long time. In the downward dog. And all of a sudden I went,
no! Make it stop! Oh, no! Okay. Janice, put some scotch tape over it. There's my... There. Put a Biore strip on there. I can't.
All right.
It's too far. Do you need me to leave?
No, I'm fine.
You feel you're upset. You want to tell this story?
No, I've been shamed before. I'm used to it. My therapist has got me working on it.
Fine. You want to finish your story?
No, I just said.
Go ahead.
It's done. It's done.
Is that all?
That's all. I'm just saying that yoga also gives you an incredible confidence in your body because you carry your body differently. And I think when you carry your body differently with pride,
yeah,
you feel sexier.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. So, Amy, here's the thing. Here's the thing, buddy. I think that Janice makes a great point. Okay. It increases circulation, which all forms of exercise does. But it really does force you to kind of become more flexible and become more body conscious and self-aware in a different way than other forms of exercise. Like, you know, when I'm tossing around a kettlebell, when I'm punching on a bag, I'm less aware of my body and, you know, how I'm positioning myself and my physicality and my posture. And there is something very medicinal about yoga. And even when you're learning yoga, it's like this pose is to detox your kidneys. This pose is to fight depression. This pose is for digestion. Like it's a very fascinating practice of exercise. And I have found... Not in down dog, but I have found that when I am doing more yoga, I may be a little more frisky. Just a little.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
So give that a shot. And we're going to let you go now because this has become so uncomfortable. And we're sorry about that. But also, thanks for all you do, dude. You're a hero. Thank you for being a firefighter and putting yourself... On the line every day and doing God's work. We are greatly appreciative.
Thank you so much.
All right, sweet pea. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Julia.
Okay, bye.
You too, Janice. All right.
Thank you, Amy.
Good Lord, Janice.
Thank you, Amy.
My God, it's not that kind of show.
Oh, you know what? I didn't say that. I meant it as
Ah, no.
You know what's amazing about me? You are so confident in so many areas of your life, but when it comes to this, you are prudish.
I know it.
And you should have told Amy maybe buy some nice candles and a little maybe Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, God. You're not having sex to Sarah McLachlan,
no.
Are you? That's tragic.
No.
That is so... Oh, my God.
I didn't say I was having sex with,
with
Sarah McLachlan.
I was expecting you to say Nine Inch Nails. Bow down before the one you serve. You're gonna get what you deserve. Do you remember that? I was dating somebody way back when I was 20, and they turned that song on, and I was like, oh, no. Like, I don't think this is going to work out. We should, now it's definitely, we got to end the show, right? I do this at the end of my therapy session. My shrink's like, we've got 2 more minutes. I'm like, we should go. Time to end. Is it time to end?
Well, if you don't want to talk about, you know, your prudishness around
issues. No. But you said that iTunes has a limit on time, and I'm sure we're over it.
Oh, look at you. Oh, my God. You have never wanted to end a show until now.
It's time to end the show.
All right.
Isn't it?
Yes,
is it?
It actually is.
Thank God. All right. So here's what I was going to tell everybody out there. So we can be even more prepared. If you want to call in with a question, we have a toll-free voicemail. Call in. Leave us your question. We'll get in touch with you, and we'll speak to you on our podcast. The toll-free number is 1-888-950-6611. Call anytime. It's private. It's only for our ears. It's toll-free, and we'll get back to you. And then again, follow me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, and that will help you stay abreast of when we post the shows or if there's any updates, taking calls live, things of that nature. Thank God this show is over. And remind me never to do yoga with Janice. Yeah. Peace.
Got money, I'll do anything for you. Got money, just tell me what you want me to. Got money, nail me up against the wall. Got money, don't want everything. He wants it all. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away. Take it, no, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me. Head like a hole, black as your soul. I'd rather die than give you control. Head like a hole, black as your soul. I'd rather die than give you control. Bow down before the one you serve. You're
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.